Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your great mercy towards your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're revealing to your people the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And thank you, Lord, that obedience is the test, of course. And we ask you to share this today, Lord. Let your anointing flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. You might have guessed. I want to do a word study. And I think I'm going to call it Fools Hate Correction. And at first I'm going to study the word reproof, which in the Greek New Testament means a proof or a test. A test. You know, the Word of God corrects us, but it's also a test to see who is going to obey. Some people don't think they have to obey. They call that grace. But it's not. It's not. Grace enables us to obey because we walk by faith. If you don't have faith, you won't have the grace to obey. And if they give you faith in the wrong doctrines and in a church or in a man, you still won't have the faith to obey. Now, this word reproof in the Hebrew is most often used as a correction. And of course, the Word of God is a correction to all of our thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Correction is important. Some people cannot handle correction. A lot of times it's because they've got rejection or fear of rejection. But that must be repented of, because if a person does not like correction, they are, as the Bible calls, a fool. So I'm going to start with Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Of course, the connotation is here that if you are not in subjection to the Father of spirits, you will not live. Not unto God. And also, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, there's that word, for correction, which is another word that we'll study, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, which is in righteousness. And I believe that the purpose of this study is bringing respect for the word and obedience to it. And this is especially important at this particular time in history because of the judgments that are coming towards us. Many of these words that we're going to look at are found in the Old Testament. But whether in a physical or a spiritual way, they are for us to be warned. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, now these things happened unto them by way of an example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And, of course, the word example there is a type and a shadow. So that's why I say sometimes they speak to us spiritually and sometimes physically and sometimes both. Okay? Moral truth is always right. Ceremonial truth is not always right in the letter, but in the spirit. In other words, it needs a translation. Proverbs 1, I'm going to read to you 23 through 30. Turn you at my reproof. Listen to what the Lord says. Obey the Lord. Turn when he reproves. Otherwise, you will go downhill from then on. He goes, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. He offers power to obey. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. The Lord has no love for rebels and no love for fools. He would rather we would listen to his reproof and repent. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. If we do not answer the Lord's call to repentance, he will not answer us. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom the Lord loveth, he reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Well, we get to prove, as we saw, we get to prove whether we are a child of God or not, you see, by our obedience. In Proverbs 5, and I'll read 10 through 14. "Lest strangers be filled with thy strength, and thy labors be in the house of an alien." There are many people that are in houses of aliens. Many of the churches out there are alien to God and to his covenant. They haven't obeyed the New Testament. Many people are in bondage to strangers, you know. "And thou mourn at thy latter end when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." I have to say that many of those churches out there don't teach you how to walk by faith and how it's important to be obedient to walk by faith. And they don't teach you these things, and many are consumed. Many are living under the curse because they're not obedient to God's word. They're not respectful of God's word. They don't listen to his reproof. They're listening to men. "And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Neither have I obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my..." Listen, I like the best teachers. I like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. You know, these are the best teachers, man. I don't even have to teach. I just rather let them teach. They're so much better than I am at it. "Nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was well nigh in all evil in the midst of the assembly and the congregation." Yes. And when that's found out, of course, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that something needs to be done about that. These are people that need to be thrown out. But they won't do it because they pay their tithes. Or maybe not. Maybe they just like people, you know, want people. But anyway, God wants a holy body, right? That's why he makes those rules. Proverbs 10 and 17 says, "He is in the way of life that heedeth correction." Oh, we need to love correction. That's the only way we're walking in life, is to heed correction. What is correction? Correction is, of course, the Word of God taking the place of our own word, our own thought, our own ambitions. And, of course, that's what the way of life is. It's a way of life, right? "But he that forsaketh reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred is of lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." Yes, the Lord said, "The slanderer I will destroy." Yes. Proverbs 12, 1 through 3. "Whoso loveth correction loveth knowledge." Yes, we want more than what we already have. Correction is exchanging what you have for what God has, right? And we need to love that. the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of man, right? We need to love that because we'll go after it. It'll be important to us. But he that hateth reproof is brutish or beastly, right? Yes. A person who hates reproof, they're a member of the beast. A good man shall obtain favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. You know, in our last study, I shared men of wicked devices. They are planning and plotting against the righteous, but it won't work. A man shall not be established by wickedness, you see, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Oh, praise God. Good promise. Proverbs 13 and 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth correction. Poverty and shame. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Promises from God. Are you too proud to listen to other people? Are you too proud to listen to the word of God? Have you become proud in your religion or your pastor that causes you to disregard parts of the word of God? Well, it will bring you poverty and shame. Proverbs 15:4-12. A gentle tongue, or the healing of the tongue, literally it says, the healing of the tongue, is a tree of life. Yes, because to heal your tongue is to heal your mind. To train your tongue what to say is to train your mind. It's being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you see. But perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. Perverse tongue is a breaking of the spirit. A fool despises his father's correction. Okay. I mean, despise would be like you disregarded it. That would be despising the correction. When you read the word of God, do you seek to obey it? Or are you just reading it for another purpose, maybe? You know, so you know more than other people, or to teach it to somebody else, or whatever. You know, all these are wrong because we have to get the board out of our own eye before we can get the mote out of our brother's eye, right? A fool despises his father's correction, but he that regardeth reproof getteth prudence. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. And you might think about our spiritual house too, right? We actually dwell in this body, which is our house. This body doesn't go with us into the kingdom. But inside is much treasure when a person loves the word of God and loves reproof. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Yes, you don't want to listen to the foolish. They have nothing to say to you. Whatever they do will pollute you, right? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Yes, some people think a sacrifice will endear them to the Lord, but not if you're a wicked person. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Amen. So we need our prayers to be heard. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to take correction and reproof from the Lord so that our prayers will be heard. Where we're going, you need your prayers to be heard. For yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for all the people around you. Amen. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Yes, their path cannot be a straight one. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. The Lord loves those that are running after righteousness, right? There is grievous correction for him that forsaketh the way. Not that they're taking correction, but the grievous correction here is speaking about judgment that is for the purpose of turning them, right, back to the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. And, you know, it's not always all of a sudden a person physically dies, but you can see them dying. You can see a person that hates reproof or correction, you can see them dying. They won't change anything that's not right in them. That's what reproof and correction is for. Sheol and Abaddon are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? He sees everything. He sees your heart. The wicked act as though God's not looking. And the devil gives them this dullness of the spirit realm because they're headed for Sheol, right? Abaddon, destruction. A scoffer loveth not to be reproved. He will not go unto the wise. Amen. They like to hear what they want to hear, so they go somewhere where it sounds good to them, and they can be comfortable in their sin because they don't want to depart from sin. So they go to people who are sinners, who tell them what they want to hear. Right? Proverbs 15 and 31, the ear that hearkeneth to the reproof of life shall abide among the wise. Hearken to the reproof of life? Doesn't life constantly reprove us when we get out of sync with nature? How do we get in sync with nature? By God's word. He created all the nature, and he created us, and he knows, you know, he has, he's given us the book of to keep us in line with what he has created. And of course, these people will abide among the wise. And he that refuses correction despises his own soul. Oh my gosh, a soul is eternal, right? I mean, we're just here for a little while. We're here to come to know God and to be like God. And a person that refuses correction cannot become more like God. But he that hearkeneth to reproof getteth understanding. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, bless us to love reproof. Bless us to never refuse correction. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causes shame to his mother. Yes, I mean, children must have reproof. They must have correction. They must have the rod. If you leave them alone or prop them up in front of the TV to keep them out of your hair or send them out every day out of the way or whatever, you're not there diligently working on their soul to give them something to believe in. You're just going, they're going to cause you shame. Okay, another word I'd like to look at, correction. And we've already looked a little bit at it, but the word itself. Proverbs 7:20 through 24, he hath taken a bag of money with him, and he, this is a parable, of course, about the Lord giving to us and going away, coming back later. He will come home at the full moon. This is the harlot speaking here. With her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forces him along, telling him what he wants to hear, right? And that's what the church in general likes to do, is tell people what they want to hear. If they didn't, they would be changing very quickly. They would be humbling themselves to the word very quickly because this is an idol. And he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the correction of the fool. In other words, bound up, going into judgment, right? the correction of the fool, till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. In other words, being lured into sin, being lured by the harlot church, being lured by a natural harlot. It's all for the same purpose. You're being tested, right? And knoweth not that it is his life. Now, therefore, my sons, hearken unto me and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that heedeth correction, but he that forsaketh reproof erreth. He is off the road, the narrow road that Jesus spoke about. The way of life is a way of correction. It's a way of reproof. It is training up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I'm talking about a child of God, right? We also are being trained up in the way of the Lord. That's why the scripture is so important, and religion is so not. Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth correction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. He's beastly. A person who hates reproof, they hate correction. They're beastly. Their mind is the mind of the flesh. Their mind is already got the mark of the beast, which is the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. These are represent the spiritual mark of the beast. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses correction. Poverty and shame if he refuses correction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, help us to be humble to your word, however it comes to us, whether it comes straight out of the word of God or whether it comes prophetically or even a correction from a child, Lord. Help us, oh God, to regard reproof. We want your honor, Lord. We want to be able to share without turning people away because we're a bad witness, right? Proverbs 15:5-10. A fool despises his father's correction. Now, that of course can be your natural father, or it can be your heavenly father, right? Or a spiritual father, somebody who has fathered you in the way. Like Paul said, you have not many fathers. A fool despises his father's correction, but he that regardeth reproof getteth prudence. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. What is knowledge? What is the real knowledge? Can you go to a college and get real knowledge? No, not like you can get in the Bible. Matter of fact, people go to college and become fools. I think that's something you can see out there, especially concerning the things recently that are happening. You can go to college and become a fool. If you want to raise somebody up as a Christian to know the Lord, which is the most important thing, treasures in this world that you get so-called from the higher learning, that's not so important. Matter of fact, you can destroy people like that, right? We want the knowledge of God. This is what we're here for. This is here for eternity, right? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Again, and the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. There is grievous correction for him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Okay, grievous correction. Correction here is, of course, judgment that leadeth to correction. As Proverbs 15:32 says, he that refuseth correction despiseth his own soul. Let's see something here. Proverbs 22 and 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It comes natural. It's inherited through the bloodline, right? But we got a new blood, don't we? Amen. And Proverbs 23 and 13 says, withhold not correction from the child. Many do that. Many think have been taught by men that you should do that. How foolish. Correction is the way of life, right? Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he will not die. Certainly not. I mean, men tell you, you can't do that. And the wicked, of course, believe that, but they know they're going to destroy that child. Correction, we have to learn to fear the Lord. And this is one of the ways, by not withholding this punishment. Proverbs 29:18-20 says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words. Now, you know the difference between a servant and a son, if you've been with us very long. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. We're manifesting our sonship in the likeness of the Son, Jesus Christ, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We're coming into the image of the Lord. That is sonship, right? He's the Son of God. But a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not give heed. There are many more servants out there than sons. They serve for what is necessary and needed. You know, a son serves for love, right? Son serves the father because he believes in the father's kingdom, and he's an inheritor of the father's kingdom, right? Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. You know, we're told to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, right? If a person is hasty, you know, there's more hope of a fool. Jeremiah 2:28-31 says, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. Yes, you see, the Lord, if a person has a god that is an idol to them, anything can be an idol. Anything that you respect more than God or that you serve more than God can be an idol. And will it save you? Many people think many different things and physical things will save them in the time to come. How foolish. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you contend with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. And, of course, people teach their children not to fear God and not to fear correction or not to obey correction. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, or a land of thick darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are broken loose, we will come no more unto thee. Yep, like a wild horse. It can't be tamed. They're broken loose. You know, I've seen people who received spirits that broke loose from the Lord, and they felt so free because now they didn't have to submit to anything. One of the first signs I see in a person receiving, for instance, faction or witchcraft, is they talk about how free they are because they don't listen to the word or don't have a conscience of the word anymore. I see this, and now it's made me suspicious, because when I first saw it, I thought, well, they're getting free, you know. But then I soon realized it was freedom from the word, freedom from conscience. That's what happens when demons come in. Jeremiah 5 and 3, O Lord, do not thine eyes look upon truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they were not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. How does this happen? Well, it's simple. If you don't know the blessings of the Christian life, and you've never lived under those blessings, you think that the Christian way is the way that the apostate church teaches. You've never seen any better. You don't know that there's better. You live under the curse and you think it's normal. But when you read the Bible, you find out what the curse is and that it's not normal, and that the only way for you to change is to receive God's correction and repent. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Jeremiah 5, 2 through 4. And though they say, as the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, do not thine eyes look upon truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they were not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, and they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Oops, I'm sharing the same part of the same word here. Surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord. Amen. Nor the law of their God. We need to study the law of our God so we know the way of the Lord, so we hear His correction daily, so we, by a constant life of doing this, we end up walking as sons of God. By a geometric progression of corrections, we come to where He is. Amen? Habakkuk 1, 4 through 14. Therefore the law is slacked, and justice doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. And this is always true. Therefore justice goeth forth perverted. And we see that. We see wickedness. We're in the process of being delivered of a deep state government that is so perverted. And they have compassed about the righteous. Behold, ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation that march through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places not theirs. God has ordained this beast for correction, for chastening. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, and are more fierce than evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far. They fly as an eagle that hasteth to devour. They come all of them for violence. The set of their faces is forwards. And they gather captives as the sand. Yea, he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. Yes, it's true. Very proud, arrogant overthrowing nations that are not theirs. This is Babylon. This is Babylon, America. He derideth every stronghold, for he heapeth up dust and taketh it. Kind of like desert storm. Then shall he sweep by as a wind, and shall pass over and be guilty, even he whose might is his God. Yes, they are guilty for overthrowing nation after nation. Guilty. And many Christians were cheering them on. How foolish. Art not thou from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained him for judgment. Look, thou hast ordained him for judgment. Well, you could say, hey, that's the Chaldean, that's the Babylonian. You have ordained him to be judged, but also he has ordained him for judgment against a foolish people. To bring under a foolish people. They conquered God's people because of rebellion. They did. And they're not through. They're still working. Don't think it's over. It's not. And thou, O rock, hast established him for correction. Now, see, that's a two-edged sword, right? Correction is coming to the deep state, but also the deep state is bringing correction to apostate people, just as the Lord has shown us. Thou art purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on perverseness. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? In other words, why does the Lord use these wicked people? And holdest thy peace when the wicked swalloweth up the man that is more righteous than he, because God's purpose is to create sons of God. He has many beastly vessels out there for the purpose of doing that, including actually Satan and his hordes. They all serve him. And makest men as fishes of the sea and as creeping things that have no ruler over them. Yes, amen. Zephaniah 3, 1 through 8. Woe to her that is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyeth not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes in the midst of her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing until the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Oh, boy. Is it not true in apostate Christianity today? The Lord in the midst of her is righteous. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his justice to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are desolate. I have made their streets waste, so that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, so that there is no inhabitant. I said, only fear me, receive correction. So her dwelling shall not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early and corrupted all of their doings. Therefore wait ye for me, says the Lord, until the day that I arise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And yes, we know this is coming. and that people need to take heed and hearken unto the Lord. You know, if you're walking along the path of correction, you know you might have a long ways to go, but the righteous are justified by faith. Their faith drives them on. Their faith in God, who empowers them to continue the sanctification process of correction, the sanctifying process of correction. Their faith moves them on. Their faith calls them justified by God. And God justifies those whom he corrects and those whom he sanctifies. Right? Okay, I'm going to go to another word, or two words actually. Hearken not. Hearken not. The Lord spoke these words to me this morning. Hearken not. Leviticus 26:14-28. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all of these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And this is, of course, if you will not hearken unto me, says the Lord. And if you will not yet for these things hearken unto me, in other words, after you've had this chastening, if you don't listen unto me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins. Ooh. Man, we make it easy on yourself. Be quick to hear, right? Be quick to hearken, which is to hear and obey, right? Be quick. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Many people are living under a major, major curse. And it's because they're not used to listening to the Lord. Verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power. Oh God, if he brings you through this, then brings you through seven times more, and you still don't repent, guess what? And I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues, there it is again, upon you, according to your sins. And I will send the beast of the field among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your ways shall become desolate. And if by these things you will not be reformed unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and I will smite you, even I, seven times for your sins. There it is again. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And we have been seeing pestilence. We have been seeing people come across the border and restore diseases that were stamped out here in America. And I think something worse is coming very quickly. When I break your staff of bread, that's happening right now. The flooding in America has destroyed the crops for the next year. And when I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake you bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you in wrath. And I also will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Whew, that's rough. The Lord is out to prepare us for the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want abominations in heaven. He doesn't want them in his church. And of course, this is the proving ground. This is where the plant bears the fruit. God's coming for the fruit. Amen. Okay, Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Wouldn't we like to have the blessing and not the curse? The blessing, if you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And the curse, if you shall not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. You know, when you sit down to read your Bible and you get distracted by so many things out there that come to mind, you know, ask the Lord to put it in you to love his word, to draw you into his word. Salvation isn't by our works, it's by his works. And we come to him by faith, and we ask him for everything that we need, even the want to, because he works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure, right? That's what salvation's all about, is you giving faith to God and him working in you his will. And guess what? If you're doing his will, there's nothing but blessings, right? Deuteronomy 18, 18 through 20, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, I want to tell you there's 2 fulfillments of this. One of them is Jesus. Yes, right. Yes, amen. But also, he that receiveth you receiveth me, Jesus said. So anybody who is walking with Jesus in them can be a fulfillment of this too, because it's still Jesus talking. It's still him giving command. The first fruits of the sons of God is the man-child ministry, and it's fulfilled in this too. It's a parallel to Jesus, and it's Jesus coming again, whether they know it or not, in an epiphany. That is a shining forth from. So he goes on to say, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet that speaketh the word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Well, it's very dangerous for you to change the word of God or presumptuously speak it and claim that it is the word of God when it's not. Very, very dangerous. Be careful when you say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21 says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son that will not obey the voice of his father, nor the voice of his mother, and though they chasten him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this is our son, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Wow, God was willing to go to that extent to get rid of rebellion. Someone who would not be corrected, who hated correction. He was willing to go to that extent. We have another opportunity, of course, in the New Testament, and that is repentance and faith. And a person doesn't have to go to this extreme. However, I got to tell you, a lot of people are destroyed because God is still determined to get rid of rebellion. And he doesn't want it in his church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Put forth the old leaven, he tells you, you know. So he's still determined to get rid of it. He went to this extent, of course, because the kind of grace that we get under this covenant wasn't offered then. And he did not want these people to raise up and have children or influence other people to their wicked ways. So he said, get rid of them. Better that they should die than a lot of other people, or that all of their children would be raised up to be the same way. That's the way God saw it. Thank God we have grace. We have another way to go. But I tell you what, if the people don't want grace, there is destruction coming for them. Deuteronomy 28 and 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now remember, this is written unto us, unto whom the ends of the ages have come. Okay. And of course, you know, we're not talking about ceremonial laws here. They all have a spiritual understanding. But moral law is always moral. And to obey the Lord is always wise. And to forsake correction is a fool. Deuteronomy 28 and 62. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou didst not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Wow, the Lord will permit the enemies and other things, other curses, to wipe out a people who do not hearken unto his voice. They were left few in number, when they were as the stars of heaven. Whosoever he be, Joshua 1 and 18, that shall rebel against thy commandment, and shall not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Yes, people are put, remember Ananias and Sapphira, they were put to death. Sometimes death isn't so obvious, but people who deceive or try to deceive God's people, they die. It may be spiritual death, which is worse than physical death, and it may be physical death too, but they die. Judges 20 and 13, now therefore deliver up the men, the base fellows that are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death. Put away the evil from Israel. You remember that story, right? And this was in Benjamin. But Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. And for this, they were wiped out. What a sad thing. A tribe in Israel was wiped out, almost completely wiped out, because they permitted this sin, this corruption in their camp, and they did not turn against it. They were wiped out. 1 Samuel 12 and 15 says, but if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then will the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Well, sadly, the the nature of the fathers is passed on to the children. We all have something to overcome, and correction is the way, and reproof is the way to overcome these things. And even foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child because it comes naturally to them because of the bloodline. But we should be diligently, whether it's a spiritual child or a physical child, be diligently to bring reproof and correction. It's necessary. Those that don't want it, they're fools. They're not qualified. Job 36 and 12, but if they hearken not, they shall perish by the sword. They shall die without knowledge. Well, we'll probably maybe take up here next time and study some more on this. It's a very important subject. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you give us the fear of the Lord and a love for correction. Because we want to come into your image, O Lord. We want to come into obedience to your word, O Lord. Give us the grace, my Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, please bless Michael Hare with the word today for the people. I ask, Lord, that everyone have ears to hear and eyes to see. And we thank you, Lord, for doing this mighty work in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, saints. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Good night.